what got his ass now?
Do I have to be fast on the track?
I hate that guy.
This race could change the rest of your life.
Those absolute clowns are at 15BMX.com.
Go on, do my best, and whatever happens, it's good.
My butt all got stretched a little bit.
I got a tight little butt.
Look, I'm about to light this shit up.
Coffee Chatter Live, where are you guys at? Oh, Canada! Coming out of the answer tent right now. Pop Dog, Millionaire! Let's make some noise, Tory Nighthawk! Whoa!
Show 231, Neek Keeman coming on the show, friend of the program. I think we do a yearly check-in with Neek. Is that, can we say that? I feel like we do.
I think that's fair. I think he's a yearly guest check-in. Aside from any, like, maybe check-ins after a big event, if, you know, if he's a winner of a race, that doesn't even count. I think he's just a standard yearly check-in for sure.
Impossible not to like Neek. Great guy. Nice person. One of the sport's greatest of all time. He's got it all.
He's your Olympic gold medalist currently. For another how many more months, no matter what, he is your Olympic gold medalist. And then after that, he's still just a 2020 gold medalist, 2021 gold medalist.
He still is the Olympic gold medalist, and he always will be. You know the three gold medalists we've had in men's BMX, Maris, Connor, and Neek?
Yep.
Like, if you were going to select three gold medalists, those are probably the three people you'd pick. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a really good thought.
If you picture the gold medalist, you picture, like, the greatest in that era.
Yeah.
I mean, Joris aside, I would...
Joris and Sam are the only other two, I think.
Yeah, right. Joris and Sam are for sure the only other two. But I would say, like, you think of Maris, Connor, and Neek, you're like, well, of course they're Olympic gold medalists.
They seem that way, don't they? Yeah, that's really crazy. Yes, that it's just like, yep, that's them. That's who they are. You expect it almost, like, when you say it now. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We haven't had, like, you know, some other sports. Well, I guess it's a small sample size in BMX because we've only had 4 O shows. But some other sports, Olympic gold medalists is kind of, not random, but... probably not who you think would win.
They come out of the woodwork sometimes in other sports.
Yeah, like which we have
a shining moment where these guys aren't.
Yeah, we haven't had that in BMX. Maybe we'll get it though. That'd be kind of fun.
I would love, dude. Can you imagine? We just have an absolute underdog story for the gold medal. Somebody you don't expect. They get backdoor their way into the Olympics and then just find a way into that spot.
That would be badass. Like someone random, like very random.
Like someone that we don't even have on our radar right now. That'd be great.
Dude. I don't want to say someone's name because I don't want to half blow someone out, but it'd be fun. it'd be fun to have like a random person who hasn't like won a race.
Yeah.
they just go and win Olympic gold.
Maybe they haven't even made a World Cup final yet. And then it's like, boom, their first big league final is just an Olympic gold medal win. Can you imagine?
I think it's hard to do with the three quarterfinals, three semifinals, it's hard. It's pretty hard. Like, I guess in the main, yeah, you could have a crash and someone could go from like fifth or sixth to win. But chances are, like, if you look at the Olympic finals from every year, it wouldn't necessarily be a surprise to see any of the guys win. You'd probably say less likely, but generally, like, you look at the 8 guys and it's like, those are all legit dudes. This wouldn't be like, you know, fucking random.
Yeah, I agree. Just the way the format is, they find a way to make sure the best guys get in there, and then it's just a kind of free for all from there. Which I think is like, are you a fan of the format? Do you think it works? Do you think it's a good one?
I think it's great. Like for the Olympics, I think it's really good because you get the best guys for sure. Like we talked about, the cream rises to the top. Like you could have a shitty semi and still make the main. Like in Rio, I got 6th the first semi, and then I think I went 2-4, so then I made the main. Yeah. Which is a normal race, I wouldn't have made the main, obviously.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
I think you get the best guys, more or less.
Yeah, like this new format they're going to be doing this year. We kind of briefly touched on it, how it's going to be a little different. Do you remember what it was? What it is?
Continue your thought.
It's going to be like each lap is based off the lap times from the lap before. So it's going to be
They're going to mix it, right?
Yeah,
they're
going to mix it. I'm very curious how that's going to work. I don't know. Do you have any thoughts on that? Do you think it'll work?
I don't love it, my first thought.
It sounds like... it's just kind of standard to have, like, that's the OG BMX of having the three races against those group of guys to get your way out of it. So it's like
Mm-hmm. Is there any description why they changed it? Like, they're just changing it just because, or
I think they
don't like it the last 4?
They don't want the third one just basically to be like, you know who's going to get what position. Basically, like it gets stale. You know who's getting what almost. Yeah.
I don't think there's ever been an Olympics where it's been stale, the third semi, where everyone, yeah. like it hasn't happened.
There was definitely like, a reason. Like they had a reason for it, for sure.
Like for sure, if someone goes 1-1, they're obviously going to make it. But generally, like the second, third, fourth, or at least the third, fourth spots in each semi are pretty wide open in the last semi,
yeah.
which I think is actually made for really good racing. There's no, there hasn't ever been a boring semi at the Olympic Games.
Is it bad that maybe part of it's like they don't want a Connor to happen again, like a Connor Fields incident where it's like he crashed and he still made it? Do you think, like, I wonder if that's a thing?
That's actually something to consider, but I mean, it could still happen. I mean, the guy goes 1-1 and then crashes. I mean,
yeah.
So I don't think that would make a difference. No. I guess you could say it may be more fair because you probably race everyone, but I don't think it needs to be fair.
I think that's part of it too. Like, yeah. That,
I think you've gotten the best, more or less, you've gotten the best eight guys in the final the last few times, and women. So I don't think they're, I think it's been fair.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree too. And like you said, like when you look back at the last finals, everyone that was in there is kind of who you'd expect, or at least you wouldn't, it wasn't a surprise that they're in there by any means. So the format keeps working. So sometimes it feels like, yeah, we change things for no reason. So maybe it's one of those things, but at the same time, you got to keep finding new ways, new improvements so you don't get stale. Right. So I don't know. We'll see how it works, I guess. There's nothing we can do about it. So hope it's good.
No, there's nothing. Yeah. I mean, I think at the end of the day, you still, it's BMX, kind of no matter what, you have to get in the gate and perform. So yeah. It really doesn't make a difference if you're racing the same people or you're not.
Oh, I feel like it puts more stress on you, this format. I don't know why. I feel like just maybe because
more unknown.
Yeah, more unknown probably. Maybe you're probably going to have to be watching scores a little bit more than before, where it's like, you know, you always just know in your race where you're sitting or approximately. Now you're going to have to be checking in on like, okay, who do I have in this next race? What points do they have? What do I need to get compared to the other race? It's going to be a lot tougher to know where you sit after the two or three rounds.
How do they seed it then for, like, how do they mix it? Is it random or is it it's off lap time or position?
So
or
I'm pretty sure like every lap you do, you'll get your point for it, whatever position you got in your race. And then it's like 1 through 16 people are put into their times. And then it's just like, they just slot them out like normal, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Like, I think it's like that. I think. And then
is the first day mixed too? Is the first day same?
I think the first day is probably mixed too, from what I remember. I can't remember. I think it's mixed too, but there's going to be, it's different. There's an LCQ. There's like, you do a couple rounds, I think, two or three rounds. And then four people get like dropped completely. And then the next like eight people race for like four more spots. So let's give this 24 people, right? 24?
Yeah, 24.
Yeah, so it's definitely going to be mixed. Then they'll take a certain number. They'll take 12, three out of each one technically. And then that leaves,
then they
leaves 12 left. So then they'll take four out. You're gone. Those other eight people race for four more spots.
Wait, so they take 12 out. So they go 3, 6, 9, 12. They take 12. So it's 6, 6. There's four spots left and they have 12 people left. So they go what? Two racks of six.
No. Okay. So let's say it's two rounds. Let's say two rounds, six people in each quarterfinal, right? They'll take the top 12 people after out of those 24 people. Cause remember, it's going to be a scrambled race.
So they take top 12. Yeah. So you know, half the field's moved on.
Yeah. Okay. So then you have 12 left. The four worst people automatically go
out.
They're dropped.
Oh, okay.
So then you just have eight people for one LCQ.
Oh, that's going to be an electric lap.
Dude, that one's going to be so good.
It's kind of interesting format. That lap is going to be something to watch.
Oh my.
It's going to be it's a main event. It's a main event. It's do or die.
Do or die. You best be a top four. If you're fifth place, dude, absolutely park somebody if you need to. Who gives a shit?
Ruin God, I love a do or die lap.
It's ruin somebody's Olympics for your enjoyment of hopefully making it.
You know, I just love performance on demand. Like here it is. It's pretty simple. You get top four, you're moving on, and you got to just perform. I think it's dope.
Your time to shine. You got a shot. Go for it.
You know what is? You know what's going to be really important in that race is to get a good gate, and that's going to be on a Pro Gate Europe. because winning starts at the Great Gate. It's going to be the gate of the Paris Olympics. I'm sure it's going to be the gate of the Los Angeles Olympics. It's going to be World Championship Gate. It's going to be World Cup Gates. Pro Gate fucking Europe, baby.
It just goes on and on of how many times this gate's going to be in a big event. The fact you're not preparing for those big events now, because you could get one. It's not like, you know, there's these things in the world for the athletes, you know, golfers maybe, you know, I don't know, but hockey players, they use products that you can't even get off the shelf. You can't go and just buy that product from the store. It's custom made. ProGate Europe's, you can go buy the fucking gate. You go buy it, and then you just use it at your track and practice, and you're good.
Does Romain lose a lap at the Olympics?
No.
He might not.
That would be crazy, dude. Come on.
No, I think he does. I don't think anyone's ever gone. No, I don't think anyone's ever gone.
It's too big of a race to not like lose one lap.
It's too hard. It's too hard. There's too many fast people that are so peaked and stuff. I don't think it's, yeah. I don't want to say not possible. Of course it's possible, but highly unrealistic.
Certainly difficult. Yeah.
Are highly difficult. Yeah.
That'll be tough. I think with that format too, I could like chilling a lap too and getting beat on a lap time, and then doesn't have his lane pick that he wants. But
can't afford to do that. You got to go to the line every time.
He doesn't give a shit about lane pick, I feel like, either. No, he's like, dude, he's got it from any lane he wants.
What a world. What a world to be. What a world to be at. 2, 3, 4. I don't really care. It's fine.
Remember when the goal was always to try to get lane one? Everyone was fighting for lane one hard. Now
always.
It's like people just kind of like, whatever, first pick, second pick, whatever, third. I don't even care. It's just like you got the Neeks that'll go outside with like Romain too. You got like, I'd say, Joris's that love inside. You got the Kais that just love, and even Simon, love middle lane sometimes. It's like, what a variety we have nowadays.
God, the race day is so much more tiring when you're trying to pin it to the line for one every time. Oh, it just takes way more gas.
Yeah. That little bit of chilling out of the last turn or after the last jump is so nice. Like as dumb as it sounds,
over the course of like 7 laps, 6 laps, whatever, it makes a difference if you can at least save a little gas on the last straight each time.
Yeah, it's true. It does. Little bits add up.
Quick NFL check-in. My Ravens absolutely rolled the Houston Texans this past weekend. It's going to be a Baltimore Ravens, Kansas City Chiefs duel next week, which is going to be an absolute electric factory between Lamar and Mr. Pat Mahomes.
I feel like this is almost like the championship game that's not the championship game. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Oh, this is going to be something.
San Fran and Detroit, fantastic. One of them is going to be in the Super Bowl as well, but it's like, it just feels like these are the two big teams right now.
Kansas, dude, Pat Mahomes is just such a gamer. They said after his game yesterday that he's never not gone to the AFC Championship.
That's crazy, dude.
That is wild.
Isn't his record something stupid, like 13-3 or something in the playoffs? I don't know if that's a spot on, but it's something crazy like that.
It's probably something like that. Yeah.
He's got a good team around him. I mean, even though they look like shit at the end of the regular season, not shit, but they definitely weren't trending fantastically.
He's a gamer.
They just come around when they need to.
Yep, they're coming into our barn next Sunday, though. It's good luck, boys. You're going to need it.
Dude, I will say, the Bills fucking blew it. They had like three opportunities. Oh, that
fucking kicker, dude. He wasn't even... Okay, they fumbled it on like the 1 yard line after they I think they got the fumble and then ran it down and then fumbled it. And then the fucking kicker misses the kick. He wasn't even close. You might as well have had me or you kick the 40-yard field goal there at the end.
I could have done that. Could have kicked it wide like that, dude. It's just a straight...
We could have shanked it, yeah.
That was just you're stepping up on the 18th tee, water right, you hard slice it into the water. When the team needs you, just put one in the middle.
Sick, dude.
Oh, my God. They had, like, three good chances, too. Like, Diggs dropped a catch that was just an easy catch. I feel like the QB, what's-his-face, just threw one, just a terrible throw to a guy open.
Josh Allen?
Yeah, Josh Allen had a wide-open guy, one of the plays, underthrew it, and then the kicks missed. Like, you have three opportunities. You hit one of those three, completely different story.
The Chiefs-Bills games are always really good. Man, they're so good. I love watching both those teams, those quarterbacks.
They're fighters.
Buffalo just can't beat Kansas City. They just can't do it.
they're kryptonite.
They just can't do it. Now, so I'm looking forward to seeing Taylor Swift cry tomorrow or next Sunday in the press box.
Oh, my God. She's just fantastic there. You know, I just love it. I love the love story going on right now.
I'm a Swiftie, but next weekend I'm not.
Yeah, you're definitely not. One at a time. One up onto the next, you know. You guys are ready for a Super Bowl win, so you just up onto the next, get a win, and then move on again.
God, the Ravens are a fucking wagon. I will say that.
It's bad. Is it bad that I want them to make the Super Bowl final, but I want Detroit to win. Like, I hate to be that guy, but I'm an underdog now.
Why do you, because they're an underdog?
Dude, they're just like, they're the heartfelt story right now. They make the playoffs. They're just they could go all the way now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I hope they're both in the final. I hope those two teams. I know Sam Fran, I know Cam Wood, you know, friend of the show, loves his team. He wants them. I want you guys to be battling the final, but it's just not. It's just not it. I can't do it.
God, I hate San Fran. I hope Detroit wins. But I think San Fran, I think if I were going to put the odds, I'd go like 75% chance San Fran wins.
It's hard to keep a miracle like story continuing like Detroit is, I feel like. They just keep pulling it out.
San Fran's going to win, I think. Other sports news, the Supercross this past weekend. Holy, it was a mutter. The last two weekends, absolute mutters. I'm looking forward to a non-mutter coming up here.
Dude, I'm tired of it. I'm tired of motocross races being in the mud. It's so boring, dude.
There's been so much rain in California. Like, really, absolutely pouring. We're talking Vancouver rain today in the last couple days. Yeah.
That's wild. Why? Like, I don't understand why it seems like... I feel like the past few years, there's been a lot of mutters down there.
Yeah, I don't know. It's been, it's like the straight Vancouver weather right now. So looking forward to some sun here real quick.
Yeah, we could use that. I mean, it was cool to see AP win. I mean, especially after, last year's debauchery on the final lap to blow it. But it's like, it wasn't very fun to watch.
We're a couple big sports guys. Like we start off the show talking about our sports.
Just recapping out here, you know?
I mean, we're not a football or moto podcast, but we like to touch base.
You know what? We might as well touch on golf for all the huge golf fans out there. How about the amateur coming through to win a PGA Tour event? Unbelievable.
We got to talk about that guy. For those people that don't know, there was a golf tournament this weekend in Palm Springs, PGA Tour event. A lot of the top guys were there. A sophomore at, I think, University of Alabama won. And it was the first time an amateur won in like 35 years. You want to hear the worst part? I think the purse for first is like $1.3 million. He can't take a dime of it, which fucking sucks.
You work your ass off to win a tournament.
Oh my God.
You don't get the mil plus payout. Like, what are we doing?
Oh, I mean, he still won the tournament, obviously, but it's like, man, that's like life-changing payday and he just doesn't get any of it.
You think he turns
pro? I was going to say before that, which is too bad, because I think before the tournament, you have to say if you're pro or amateur.
Right.
And it's not like you can win the tournament and just be like, oh, I'm actually going to take it.
Yeah.
Which if you could, you'd be really dumb not to do that, obviously.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of a weird little system, I guess, how that works. Like, it makes sense that you got to do it beforehand. You can't just go out, like, say after and be like, oh, I did well, so I'm going to be pro now. But it sucks now, because I'm sure, like, he already won the USAM, right? Like, the big amateur title.
Oh, is he won the USAM?
Okay. I think that's the guy who won. I think he won USAM. So it's like, why didn't you turn pro now? You could have been making money. Because I know he's exempt into all these other pro tournaments moving forward, but it's like, why else are you going to stay amateur? I feel like there's no other reason to stay amateur. You have all these exemptions.
There is no reason to stay amateur.
Oh, so it's just, hopefully he gets, I know he's exempt into so many tournaments that if he turns pro, he'll make that money within the year probably, but still, dude.
It's not guaranteed money, though. Like, he's still got to go and play well. It's not like he's going to turn pro and make it. It's like BMX. You got to go and earn it.
Yeah. Yeah.
He gets it.
He doesn't have his PGA Tour card yet to be able to, like, just make their automatic paycheck.
He would now, because you get a two-year exemption if you win.
Right. Okay.
So he would have a two-year exemption now. So, I mean, he'll be pretty set still. But, yeah, that's got to hurt. I mean, that's got to hurt a little, not being able to take the $1,300,000.
It would sting. I'm sure even his parents are like, damn, dude, that's tough.
That's really, really tough.
Yeah. Can you imagine if BMX, you had to qualify, like if we turn the World Cup into like the PGA Tour, where you had to qualify to get on the tour, which would be the World Cup series. And then once you made it on, they gave you a baseline amount of money so you could go to all the events. And then on your earnings on top of that, then you just like, that would be interesting.
I think now on PGA Tour, it's like everyone gets 500,000, I think.
That's, that's what they get. Yeah.
I mean, it's quite a bit of money,
What would you do for, like, okay, so BMX right now, the state it's in right now, they say top, do I even want to say top 64 people make it to the World Cup series if you're qualified?
And they would get like a stipend, basically?
Yeah, what kind of paycheck would you give each rider? if you make top 64.
Are we talking like equivalent to what the tour would get, or are we talking like realistic amount?
Realistic, like percentage realistically, like they're getting 500K. So what is that for us, do you think?
Well, I mean, 20K? Think about this. One tournament pays $1.3 million on the PGA Tour, and their yearly stipend is less than half that. So a World Cup win is what? $3,500? Is that right? $3,500?
Yeah, let's get $3,500.
So what do you do? Give someone $1,700? Well, that gets burned in one flight over the East, doesn't it?
You only get a one-way flight. Good luck on getting home.
Yeah, it's not great.
Fuck, that's, yeah, okay, so that wouldn't work. So you'd have to go, like, what would be enough to get you through the season? 20K?
I don't know.
Could you do it on less, maybe? Could you?
Well, say a typical year is, what, 4 or 5 World Cup weekends?
Yeah.
Let's say five. So, yeah, five. Say five grand per, maybe. So 20 grand, probably.
20 grand, okay.
Yeah, probably 20.
Then times that by 64 people.
Yeah, good luck.
64. Oh my gosh, cool. Yeah, where are we going to find $128,000 to pay
riders? Yeah. we got Nick coming on soon, but we'll touch on the Desert Classic. Desert Classic in Phoenix, Arizona this coming weekend. It's one of Team Chatter's favorite pro races, I think. I'm going to be going there. I got a bunch of my riders going there, so I'll be there coaching. So if you're there, come up and say hi. Be interested to chat to any people that listen to the show, or yeah, just want to chat in general. So looking forward to it. Do we think there's going to be more people there than in Florida in terms of pro classes?
In terms of the pro class, I don't think so. I don't. Mm-hmm.
It's going to be small. It's going to be real small.
I think, I know Florida didn't have a ton, but it's just like, that's where a lot of I think there's this thing where it's like in the women's class, a lot of the times these non-supercross hill ones, they get more riders because it's just, they know what they're getting when they go to this race. So I think in the female class, we're going to see more. In the men's class, now I'm starting to go back and forth. I mean, there wasn't a lot in Florida. There was semis with like barely 4 racks racing in motos. So it's like, I could easily see that here. The timing of it, I guess there was nobody in Florida that was like, that was one of those people I thought is going to be at like the World Cup. So they're going early. So it's going to be the same people, I feel like. I think it's going to be about the same or bigger for the guys too.
Like Cam Wood will probably win both days. I think it's pretty safe to say.
Yeah. I think Larson will give him a run. Absolutely. I think Larson will give him a run just because, I mean, he's a flat hill assassin at the same time as he's getting to be a supercross one now too. But yeah, you got to give Cam the edge just being at home.
You go to Cam's home track where he lives 5 minutes away.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, good luck.
It's gonna be tough.
It'll be nice. Nice that Coffee Chatter will have a boots on the ground though. You can get, you know, real life live view of everything. You know, give us the details after. It's great. I love that.
Dude, I like that track. I like this race.
I think the track looks great now too. I love the look of the first straightaway. They have a pro set down the second straight, if I'm not mistaken, right?
I believe so. It's on the right. I think.
Yeah, I believe so. I love that too. So Black Mountain's a staple, dude. It's a staple on the USA BMX circuit. The only track with good dirt turns in the past. So it's like, bring it on.
The warm-up area is something too, isn't it?
Yeah, that's just unbelievable.
The fucking parking lot's just going to be an absolute cemetery of flat tires.
Do you remember the first time we showed up there, they closed the road and they just decided to put the warm-up area. They just packed down some gravel.
Remember that first year they did that?
It's so stupid.
That was unbelievable.
What is this crap right now?
No, that was what, yeah. I think the businesses at the end complained. That was brutal. All right. Before Neat comes on, let's do the game.
Okay, yeah. So it's the same game we did last week with Cam at the end of the show, but we'll do it with Neek this time. I like this idea.
All right. Neek will have blank USA BMX titles by the time he retires.
I want to ask him the question if he plans to go for it again, and I feel like the answer is going to be no, and for that reason, I'm going to say he's going to have zero. I just don't think he goes for it again.
I'm going to go zero, yeah. Neek will have blank world championship titles by the time he retires, so I believe he has 2. Is that right?
Where's the second? Oh, home, yeah, he has 2. Sorry.
No, 3. Belgium wait.
And the Netherlands. And yeah, Papineau.
Oh, yeah. Belgium and Papineau. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
How many is he going to have by the time he retires? I'll go three.
I'm going to go two.
Okay. Yeah.
Neek will have blank Olympic medals before he retires. Obviously, he's got one.
Already got one.
So far.
And I'm going to go. There you go.
Okay. I was going to say, I'll lead us off. I'm going to go two. I think he gets like a bronze. I'm going to go.
Yeah, I think he gets two as well. I'm not sure if it's this Olympics, but I think he goes for another Olympics for sure.
Yeah, so, I think he wins another medal, so we'll go two.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see if he keeps going, in my opinion.
So he's got to be, what, 26?
Yeah, 26, 27. 26, 27, yeah. How old is Sean? Mm.
Same age?
I think so.
they are the same age, yeah. Yeah. Sean's 20. How many years younger than Sean than you?
Don't put this on me.
2 years. I thought he's 2 years younger. So I think Neek's 28. Neek's got to be 28 this year. So I think he's 27.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, he's getting up there, I guess.
Sounds about right, yeah.
So, he'll be 30, like 32 the next one, basically, after this year.
The thing I find about him is, like, it seems like, yeah, as a youngster, like the past, like before, I don't know which year you want to say, maybe before the Olympics, like it was just all in, everything, go, 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 never took breaks. It seems like he's mature in the sense of he does a lot of, I don't know, it seems like he knows how to take a break now in a sense of like to prolong things, you know, to not get, you know.
Burnt out,
thank you. There we go. Teamwork makes a dream occur there, yeah. So
yeah, I think after like years of travel and stuff, as you like get into your mid or late 20s, you start having other interests and start having more of a life outside of sport. Because I think when you're like 18, 19, 20, 21, whatever, you're new on the circuit, you're super excited about everything. All you care about is BMX. All you want to do is train. All you want to do is watch BMX videos. But then after a while, like you have other interests, you realize there's more to life and you try to have a bit more balance. So I'm sure that's probably somewhat where his mind's at now that he's a bit older.
I think
we can ask him, but that's what I would assume.
I like that it seems like him and his brother too, like they go on trips every now and again, they just make BMX fun. Like they do their trips and ride local tracks and just have a good time. And I think that enjoyment, that love for the sport keeps you going longer too, personally. So
we got to ask about he went to, was it Asia this past winter?
Did he go to Asia?
Or South America or Asia? So I want to say it was Asia.
Okay.
When is he in that? Is he ready yet or is he in the chat or no?
No, he's busy getting his haircut. You know what? I got a random question for you that I think I brought this up on the show before and I'm going to say it again. Okay. I'm just going to put this out there. It's a statement. It's not really a question. Putting your blinker on. Okay. If you're in a car, putting your blinker on, as soon as you turn onto the on-ramp where you pick up speed to get on the highway, if you put your blinker on right on that on-ramp, it's the exact same as you not having your blinker on at all. You're just wasting people's time by having it on. You're not telling anybody you're moving over. We already know you're going to be moving over. It's a merge lane, dude. Put your blinker on when you're about to come over so, you know, a car knows you're moving over. I fucking hate when you're on the highway. Somebody's got their blinker on the entire merge lane. You're like, this, I don't know when you're moving over. Your blinker's already on. Mm-hmm. I don't know, you have to move over. What are we doing, people? Figure it out.
So I got to come clean. I did this yesterday, I think, because I was driving. And the reason why I switched lanes, and then as I was switching lanes, I thought it was a cop behind me. So I quickly put my turn signal on. Try and save it in it. I'm not being a cop.
You did the quick last minute. Oh, let me put my blinker on. Yeah, maybe you didn't see.
Otherwise, yeah, you got to put it on.
Yeah, that's fair. It annoys me, dude. I don't know why those little kind of pet peeves while driving piss me off. People like, it's like, what are you doing putting your blinker on?
I mean, people in California on the freeway don't care about life.
They just fucking rip, don't they?
It's like, I will either cut you off or die.
There's two options. Figure it out.
Yeah, I'll text him now.
We had a crazy snowstorm this past week. So first off, Vancouver, like a week and a half ago, we got like an inch of snow on the ground that lasted no more than a couple hours. All of Vancouver turned into gridlock traffic. People freaked the hell out, dude. It was brutal.
It's like here when it rains.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Just turns into gridlock everywhere. Terrible traffic. So that was stupid, first off. And then this past week, we had a huge snowstorm, but it was kind of everyone knew about it. So a lot of people were prepared, I think. A lot of like businesses, other people going to work just didn't go in and stuff. I had a job that day. It snowed. So I stayed at home closer to the job site. Went there. It got canceled once I got there. So I was like, oh, okay, whatever. It sucks. But went home after that, came back all the way to Lions Bay, and I have this huge hill from the highway to up to my place is just a windy ass, very steep hill. And I was concerned the whole time because I was on the highway, like compact traffic. The fire hall.
You're gonna start rolling back. We're going to start rolling backwards down the hill.
Dude, the fire hall is about halfway between the highway and me, like my place. I got up, literally, I'm going past the fire hall. I'm turning up the hill to keep going to my place. And all of a sudden, wheel starts spinning. And I'm like, no way. Like, I don't even make it halfway, basically. Like, I'm saying it's halfway, but I barely made it to the hall. So I end up having to, like, slide my way back down and then find a parking spot. I hiked up to my house after. I literally walked in the snow with my groceries, two bags of groceries, all the way up my hill up to my house. It was brutal.
In other news, on that note, Neek's ready.
Is he really? You know, snow. Oh, there he is. Perfect timing. Yeah, it was brutal. So anyways, Snowmageddon's gone over here, thankfully. But yeah. We're waiting for Neek Kimmon coming in the chat.
Connecting. Can you hear us?
I can hear you guys. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Dude, it's just the new California kid joining us.
Yeah, it's been good. It's been a good couple weeks.
Dude, so this winter, you went to, was it Asia you went to?
Yeah, Indonesia.
Tell us about that trip. Like, what made you decide to go and what did you guys do?
So after George Harmson retired, he went to Asia, Australia, just to travel for a month. And like, basically he just went with a backpack and just traveled around. And I'd always wanted to do something like that. But then after Olympics, I was injured and in a pandemic, like couldn't really travel. And then after Argentina, I got my collarbone plate removed and the doctor told me I basically couldn't ride my bike for 6 weeks. So I thought, well, that's a good excuse to go. So, basically waited for an okay for the doctor. And as soon as he said, there's no infection, so you can travel. 5 minutes later, I had a flight ticket.
No way.
so I just went on my own. And then after a week, one of my friends saw I was there. So he joined me for a week.
That's crazy.
So I just, went with just a backpack and just traveled around. Because I travel a lot because of BMX.
Mm-hmm.
But like other than a track and a hotel, I never see that much. And I was always curious what I would be like as a person without my bike. If like to have normal conversations with normal people, because I live in a bubble. I'm aware of that. Mm. Everywhere I go, like even if they're not BMX athletes, they're still athletes. So I just wanted to get out of that bubble. So I just traveled there. And it was cool. I enjoyed it. And then when Jose, my friend, joined me, we were in Lombok. That's an island next to Bali. Like Indonesia has like 1,000 islands, but it's one of them. It's a pretty big one. And I knew that one had a BMX track. So I thought, if I'm here, I want to check it out. So I just went there. And then one of the locals told me, 15 minutes from here, there's a little event going on. Do you want to come? I'm like, yeah, let's go. I thought it'll be like 10 kids, maybe like a little clinic or something.
Yeah.
So I came there. They had an announcer, everything. Like that's that video I posted.
Yeah.
I didn't know something like that existed still. Like 80s BMX, they had
it looked awesome, a
four-man gate. And as soon as I walked in, you could hear the announcer say, like I don't speak the language, but I could hear like Neek Kimmon, Olympic champion, something.
Yeah.
So the first race, as soon as I walked in that I watched, you could just see the kids were running on hype. Because first corner, everyone crashed. Like, people were just going fast, and then they were capable of. And I walked in, I'm like, this is fucking awesome. Like, I had so much fun. And then I watched two races, and I told one of the guys there, I'm like, this is awesome. Can I join? I'm like, it's been, I don't know, 4 weeks with my collarbone. Should be, as long as it don't crash, it should be fine. So they're like, yeah, cool. You can borrow this bike. So then I was behind the gate. I'm like, guys, I don't have a helmet. Can anyone, like, they would straight up let me race without a helmet. I'm like, guys, I need a helmet. So just someone gave me an open face, way too big. Like I started off, you can see on the video, I started off a little slow. Like I didn't know that bike. I just wanted to make sure the brake worked, the chain wouldn't snap. So after the second jump, I'm like, yeah, we're good. So then it was two laps.
Was it really?
Yeah, it was two laps. So then I was just trying to pass people, and yeah, it was awesome.
That's so epic.
Like the friend that came with me, he runs a professional road cycling team. So they've been around, like they haven't competed in Tour de France, but they've been around Tour de France, like big races. So they've seen sports, but he's like, this was a bucket list experience that I didn't know was on my bucket list. Like, it was awesome.
That's crazy. That's so cool. You got to experience that just out of the blue too, like just out of nowhere.
Yeah, if I knew that was going to happen that day, I would have made sure I filmed everything, because it was, yeah, one of the best days ever. Yeah. Like, yeah, I'm not kidding.
That's so random too. That's cool.
Like, yeah. Like, I didn't think I was going to ride my bike that day, and I ended up going to some race at some local event that I didn't know existed. But it was pretty big. Like, they had to announce everything. The crowd went wild. It was sick. Somewhere middle of nowhere on an island in Indonesia.
I think it's crazy that, like, I know it's like random, but I think it's crazy that there's random Asian like races, events, people go wild for them. The announcer's going crazy. They seem to have like tons of fans, like even at their like actual BMX races, and they still do it like this kind of event. Like, that's nuts.
Yeah, it's sick.
Yeah.
That was good. Good fun.
So dude, now in Cali, getting some training the last few weeks. So how's it been? Like, you've been riding Chula, you doing like riding Bellflower at all or any other tracks?
So far I've only ridden Bellflower. Maybe I'll go, I was planning going Lake Paris tonight, but yeah, Dutch weather decided to follow me.
Seriously, man.
No Lake Paris today. Maybe I was talking to Afro Bob. He just messaged me. He got himself a Mabel bike about time. So maybe I'll do a session with him in Bellflower, but we'll see. Like, of course, it's fun in California, but I'm not here on, I'm not on vacation. So I'll try to do Supercross when I can. So I've joined the Willoughbys, and Cam Wood was out. Corbin was out one of the days. Shibby's a local there. Yeah. So I did two sessions with them. I don't know. They weren't planning on riding Chula this week because of Phoenix. Right. So I wasn't planning going there this week, but I'm planning on doing another session there next week, and then going to New Zealand.
Are you doing Phoenix, or are you staying in Cali?
I wasn't planning on going, but I feel kind of excited to read. I don't know. We'll be, I'm not planning on going.
We'll wake up Thursday morning and see how you're feeling.
Yeah. Pretty much. I'm definitely not doing Saturday. Because Carly needs to be back on Saturday. So if I go, I'll do one day.
Just go for one day.
As I said, I'm not planning on going.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
That's cool.
You probably never... Have you ever done that race? Probably not.
Never. Never.
Yeah. It's a pretty good one, usually.
Yeah, it looks decent. Just like basic. But looks... Yeah. You're going there, Tori?
Yeah, I'll be there. Dude, you should go. It's more like a classic USA BMX, dirt turns, the whole deal.
Yeah. Perfect preparation for Rotorua.
Like, couldn't be better. Couldn't be better. Almost a replica.
Get my ego hurt 2 weeks before Rotorua. Ryan, Cam Wood on his local track. It should be fun.
Yeah, it should be easy to beat Cam there, no problem.
Yeah, it should be easy. No problem. If I'm less than two bikes behind going into the first,
it shouldn't be a problem. I guess you haven't, like, you probably haven't rode the Chula Supercross tracks much in the past either. Have you done much training there before? Like, you,
yeah, when I showed up there, I realized the last time I rode the Beijing track was 2017.
Oh, wow.
Back then, I'm trying to think. So, Boss was still the head coach, Yelit won. Mark Link, Niels Bensink. That was the team back then. So you
what
can
a crew.
Yeah, a long time ago. So that was 2017. So I hadn't been there. I did the Chula World Cups on the London track as a junior. But after that, I never raced there. So, yeah. Like, for you guys, it was probably boring. But for me, I've barely been there. So every time I go there, I'm still excited. It's a bit... I haven't hit the second or third straight full speed yet.
Probably don't. Don't do the third straight full speed. Don't go full speed in the third straight.
Like, when I got there, I'm like, Shibi, can I follow you? And he's like, yeah, just don't go full speed. And like, I could just see him like pulling away. I'm like, this is the speed I'm going. Still brake checked, just eased into it. I mean, I've probably gone up to 85%. Maybe I can do 90% on a good day, but I feel like that's it.
Yeah, it's like it's very easy to override that track and make a mistake.
Yeah, I feel like they should do a 41-60 in gear limit.
The problem with that track is too, even without trying, like if you just stay clean, you just gain speed everywhere because it's downhill. Obviously.
Yeah, but I still, because it's so hard on full speed, I did enjoy it because I feel like track these days are pretty mellow. Mm-hmm. And here you have to be precise everywhere. So I kind of enjoyed that. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if I'd be excited racing it, but for training, yeah, it's been good.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see a race on it now.
Get gnarly.
It's basically, I think Negru Lima, if his leg's working again, then he'd be good because he's probably the only person that would have the balls to hit that second phase.
Just,
speed.
I could see him just winding up the second turn for the third speed. Just fucking outside. Winding it up. Oh my God. Everyone just holding their breath like this dude is going to die.
Yeah. Because I remember in Manchester when they still had that dragon second straight, he was the only guy going all the way outside first corner.
Oh my God.
Sprinting. And every time I'm like, how does the guy not crash? And then I think in the final, he crashed. We're like, we knew it wasn't if, it was when.
Yeah, it's a time bomb. It's going to go off at some point.
Yeah. That's great. Have you talked to him lately after his leg injury in Argentina?
Yeah, I have. I mean, his English is as
good
as my Spanish.
Yeah, how's your Spanish? You're just doing Google Translate back and forth.
I mean, I saw I had a 600-day streak on Duolingo, but I still don't speak any Spanish. I mean, I know he came to my house at some point, and we drove from Papenal to my dad's place, which is like a hour, 15-minute drive. And we had a full conversation with like my few words in Spanish, his few words in English. And we made it work. Yeah, he seems to be doing better, but that was
good.
Yeah, rough.
Yeah.
Like I don't know if he posted, like he sent me the picture of when he was still in the Santiago del Estero hospital. His leg looked gnarly.
Yeah, he got an infection and stuff, right?
Yeah.
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 Well, dude, looking back at your year last year, how are you looking at it now? Like, obviously not your best year result wise and stuff. Like, what are your thoughts on it?
I saw you gave me a C.
Yeah, tough grade, huh? Tough grade.
What do you grade yourself?
You know what? No, Nick, it's only because you're such a good student and I know your potential. I know you're capable of getting A+.
Like,
I'm about to call your mom in for parent teacher night. We got to have a word.
Yeah. So Max Kluwer, like in Argentina, we did an interview and I'm like, I gave myself a 5.5 out of 6, out of 10, sorry. But then I look back, I'm like, I still finished fourth World Cup overall, still won the Euros. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not terrible. It's not great, but it's, but yeah, I'm definitely trying to do this year a little bit better. Yeah, I think last season, I don't want to use it as an excuse because it's like, knock on wood, relatively small injury in BMX. Like pretty much everyone's broken a collarbone at some point. But I think I wanted to do some more USA BMX stuff last year. I was excited for that after doing like 2022. I'm like, okay, I learned from that. Not saying I would have beat George and Cam at Grands because I know these guys are quick, but I'm like, I know where I can improve on, and I was excited for that. And as soon as I broke my collarbone, I missed so many races. I realized that wasn't really an option. And I think mentally that hit me more than anything, the fact that it would be just like a World Cups, Worlds, same thing over. So I think it was more of a motivational thing than anything physical. But right now, I'm pretty motivated. We'll see where I'll be in Rotorua or in Phoenix Friday.
But yeah, we'll see in Phoenix Rotorua, Friday.
But... yeah, we'll see. I feel more excited than I was last year. So that's a good thing. I always like the big seasons where there's something on the line. Anytime there's pressure, I feel like I like that. It makes it feel big and important, and I like that. So yeah, we'll see. Yeah.
And it makes sense too. Like you've done the European races and the World Cups for so many years now. Like I'm sure having plans like as you did last year to race some more USA BMX stuff keeps it a bit more fresh and interesting. Some different guys to race different tracks you've probably seen on videos, that kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And also like the tracks we raced on is pretty much the same. It was pretty much the same all the time. So that's why one of the reasons I'm excited for Rotorua, because I haven't been there. Mm-hmm. It's a big track. How I feel like Supercross track should be.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't ridden it. Maybe it rides like, maybe it's not great, but the way it looks, I'm excited for it. We'll see.
It does seem like it's got a great first rate though. Like it's a really raceable, like open first rate, which I agree. That's what it's Supercross is. We're not doing these two jump short guys. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Like I feel like if you can't build a 3-jump first rate, just don't build a Supercross hill in the first place. Just build a 5-meter, 3-meter. Nothing wrong with that. But if you build a Supercross hill, make it a 3-jump first rate. Otherwise, I feel like it's just like it makes no sense going 60 kilometers per hour on a 5-second first rate, 6-second. Dude, I think it's just stupid. Like Sarrians, Manchester, great tracks to train on, but I feel like we shouldn't be racing there.
Dude, I can't even fathom the fact that we raced Auckland and Rotterdam back in the day.
those 3 years. Auckland, that was...
Oh my God, there's no way we should have been on a Supercross.
Thank God I was junior back then.
Holy fuck. That was insane.
Both my junior years kind of sucked for world champs track-wise, but I'm happy I raced there as a junior, not an elite.
I mean, also like lane 6, 7, and 8 of those tracks is just fucking impossible.
I think outside lane 3, you're pretty much screwed.
Yeah, it's impossible. And death trap, absolute death trap. 60K, it's pretty wild looking back. And even like, Manchester, like obviously there was races there in the past, but the speed just keeps improving with the elite class. Like everyone's going so fucking fast now, all you guys. So even watching like the Brits train there, I'm thinking it's sketchy watching like 2 or 3 of them go into the first corner.
Yeah, I went there in December for like 3 days. It's small.
Oh, tiny, tiny. It's like, I don't know how there was World Cups there. It's crazy to think about now.
Yeah, but also then I feel like the jumps were so steep that it kind of slowed us down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where now things are a bit more mellow, so you can open up.
Yeah.
Like that one year where they put a quarter pipe on the first straight. I think that was ridiculous, but at least it slowed us down.
You know what? It might have been a net positive because no one could pedal after the first jump. So it might have actually helped everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Now it's like, man, the straightaways look like the guys are just absolutely pinning it everywhere.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah. And they made the lip into turn 2, that double. They made it a little bit steeper. Oh boy. So I see Ross and those guys just hitting it full gas. I'm like, I'm like 95%. I'm just there for 2 days. I'm good.
Yeah. I'm not preparing for a race on this track. I'm good, guys. You have fun.
I can't believe I'm saying that now, but I'm like, I'm too old for this shit. I feel like I was a junior yesterday, but.
Hey, we were talking about that before you came on. Are you 28 this year? Or how old are you this year?
Yeah, I'm turning 28.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's what I thought. Yeah. Does it feel like, obviously, Olympic year this year? Does it feel like with Tokyo being pushed later a year, quicker turnaround from the last one? Does it feel quicker?
Yeah.
Has it felt quicker? Yeah.
Yeah, I remember Maris after Beijing when he went to London, like him saying those 4 years went so quick after winning that gold medal. And I'm like, yeah, I have that. But then 3 years, so 1 year less. Yeah. It's definitely going quick, but yeah, it's what it is.
Dude, it's weird. Like, even from the outside, it feels like you guys just got your medals. It doesn't feel like a long time ago whatsoever.
Yeah, same. Same. I definitely feel the same way. But yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I don't really know. I mean, would I have liked having another year? I don't know. I don't know if it makes, if it would have made a difference for me personally if I had 4 years instead of three. I feel like the first 2 years after the Olympics, I feel like that is definitely different. Like, if you look at Kai White and me the last 2 years, mm-hmm. I think we were off. So I hope that this is our third year. Now we get back into the swing of things. Mm-hmm. But I guess time will tell. But yeah, yeah, I don't feel like I would need another year or something. Right. Yeah, one of those things.
Crazy to say, like,
definitely felt quick.
Yeah, it's crazy to think about. Like, you say that, like, yeah, you guys had like off years when it's like you guys are still, like you said, you just won Euros this past year. You're still making World Cup finals, but you guys' level is that high. Is it hard to like at these times, like this past like 2 years, is it hard to kind of find the balance between like just enjoying life and still trying to race?
I think how I'm going to explain this. I think I lived like a monk until Tokyo. I think since I started racing BMX, if you win a regional, you're like, it's not a national. When you win a national, it's like, it's not a European. You win a European race, it's not the world, it's not a World Cup. You win a World Cup, it's not the World Champs. You win a World Champs, like, it's good, but it's not the Olympics. And then you win the Olympics, and I think that was the first time in my whole life that I ever felt satisfied. And I think after that, I feel like you just, like, going into the elite class, you have this, like, you want to prove yourself. Then you go from wanting to prove that you're not a one-day fly. So that's, like, different approach. But I feel like after winning the Olympics, it's like, okay, I've accomplished everything I wanted. Now I need to find a different mindset again in, like, how can we keep this sustainable? And I think, yeah, it's been trial and error. I've definitely struggled with that. Trying to enjoy, I think maybe at some point I tried to enjoy it too much that my races sucked, and then I ended up not enjoying it. So it's, I think it's finding that balance. And yeah, at some point, yeah, we're all athletes. And I think actually where we're just all in, maybe that's what gives us joy, at least for me. But it's, yeah, probably a normal process that I had to go through. And yeah, hopefully I'll get my shit back together for 24.
At this point in your career, obviously you're later on in your career, late 20s now, accomplished a lot. Like, are you still actively working at improving, like, running technique, gait technique, anything like that?
Yeah, I'm trying to change everything.
Fuck yeah.
It's minimal. I feel like for me, the last 2 years, the biggest struggle has been, I mean, I'm not proud of saying this, but the biggest struggle has been motivation. Like, if I see myself at some races, I'm like, Nick, if that's where your mental state's at, just don't even bother showing up. Like, who are you kidding? So I feel like just wanting to be there. Like, physically, I showed up too many times where my heart wasn't in it. And I feel like also I was in a different stage in my career. Like, I had never won the Olympics before, so I was just taking other people's advice on what to do. And I feel like over the years, I got a pretty strong instinct or gut feeling with things I wanted to do and felt like I should be doing. And because I followed other people's advice, I felt like I was getting so far away of my authentic self that I think for like right now, I'm like, I fucking love BMX. As long as I'm healthy, I want to keep doing this. But I feel like race calendar wise, I might probably be making a bit more decisions and racing races that other people would think like, oh, that's a weird or an interesting racing calendar. But I feel like I just need to keep myself excited. And that mental part, I feel like it's more of a mental thing where I'm trying to challenge myself than anything physical, to be honest.
That's kind of, it's interesting to look on it, because I feel like that's kind of what, as like fans now from the outside, it's, you're one of those guys, which is crazy that it seems like when you want to win, and I've heard Robert say this to me too. He's like, when Neek wants to win, it's like the guy will go out and win, which is just a crazy thing to be able to say. And then the fact that you're able to like back that up is nuts. So,
I mean, I've had those races over the years where I was just so confident that I'm like, yeah, but it's probably where Joris and Romain were last season. So I'm definitely realistic that, doesn't matter how bad I wanted it in Argentina or in Glasgow, I wouldn't have beaten Romain. So, like, yes, I need to be motivated, and yes, it helps to be motivated, but also physically I need to be good. Yeah. So I feel like it's always balancing that and trying to be in that sweet spot. Mm-hmm. I think, like, you guys have both raced, you all know, like, where you had one or the other. At this level, you just need both, but... it's funny that Robert said that. I've heard other people say that over the years, and I've definitely had a couple of those races, but I'm not that naive to be like, oh, I want to win Rotorua, so I'm going to win Rotorua. I'm like, I know where the level's at. I know compared to the last two seasons that I simply need to be better than I was. But I'm excited to line up against the best guys in the world and see where we're at.
Are you wanting to do some more USA BMX stuff in the future, maybe next year onwards? Like, are you planning on maybe doing a full season as you had planned before?
I don't know. I think after I won Tokyo, a lot of people are like, oh yeah, but Neek has never won USA BMX, blah, blah, blah. And like, I think that's one of those things, as I said earlier, I've always raced because I loved racing, and then just kind of see where it takes me. And I felt like I was trying to chase a result. I don't know, felt like I kind of had the wrong approach. So I'm accepting the fact that that's one of the titles I might never win. I don't know if I'll ever do a full season. Definitely races once in a while that I really enjoy. But I also know, like, from Sarasota this January until Grants in November, it's a long season. I'm not sure if I ever want to be all in for those 11 months. Maybe there's some races here and there that I'll pick. And if that puts me in the title chase at some point, great. If not, I'm in peace with it.
Yeah, that's cool. I wanted to ask, who are you working with for a coach these days? Like, I feel like it's just a very unknown thing. I feel like back in the day for a bit, it was Liam, obviously the Dutch team with Martijn. And are you doing your own thing now? Or is
he's just smiling.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just doing my own thing now.
Cool. How's that?
Nice, been? Good for you.
Sorry, what were you saying, Tori?
I just said nice, good for you. Yeah.
Oh. Liam and I sat down in Argentina. Yeah. Like, I think working with me sometimes can be easy, sometimes can be hard. I think we both sat down and I felt like I'd gotten a little bit too comfortable, where I had to shake things up a little bit. I was just excited to, for the last 2 years, I think Tori and I sat down at some point where we're like, I think you asked me at some point, and I'm like, I feel like I could write my own programs, but maybe at that time I didn't have the confidence for it yet. And I feel like now, it was something I was excited for. I'm not saying that's what I'll keep doing forever, but for now it's something I'm enjoying and challenging myself off the track a little bit, and also, yeah, what I said from the motivational standpoint, like if I write something down, if I go into the gym and I have 10 reps of Bulgarian fucking split squats or something, before I'd be like thinking towards whoever would be my coach, like, are you taking a piss? I just trying to make me grumpy or why we're doing this. But if I write it down myself, I'm like, there's no one to be angry at. So yeah, then I'm like, maybe I'll complain for a second. Then I'm like, yeah, Nick, you fucking wrote it down yourself. So get out and get going.
James, we got anything else? We get into our little SoCal draft.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's do that.
All right, lead us off.
All right, so because you've been in California for a while, been living life in the SoCal life, we're going to do a little draft. So I picked four different things, and you're going to pick your favorites, and we're all going to pick one. So anywhere from, like, I don't know, LA, whatever you think SoCal is, down to San Diego, that counts. So I'll let you start, and then we'll go Neek, and then me, and then we'll keep doing that rotation, all right? So the first thing we're going off is, what's your favorite SoCal track?
Chula Vista USA BMX track. That's my favorite track.
And we can't, by the way, we can't pick the same one. That's the draft. Can't pick the same one. All right. That's fair. USA BMX. All right. All right, Neek.
I haven't ridden there for years, but I remember back in 2017, I really enjoyed riding Lake Paris.
Oh, good one. Yeah. That one is, like, I'd say a low-key fun one.
I should say Bellflower for Afrobop. But I haven't been there since they Soltec'd or slurred it. So,
Man, I haven't been to Lake Paris in like 15 years. I raced there when I was junior. I think it's the only time I've ever been there.
I'm taking the classic, the one that nobody ever rides because it's pretty unique. Beijing replica. Just a classic track, dude. One of the best.
OG.
So good.
Yeah, you know what's crazy? It was built in 07 and it's still like almost the same thing.
It's crazy.
I wish they kept that first straight though.
That was a really good
this second
straight.
Jump.
Terrible.
Like I was doing first straights with Cam Wood, and whoever got backside on the second jump was hole shotting pretty much. Yeah. It's 50-50.
you gotta just land back wheel and go for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the old first straight was way better. Even the first jump now is a bit of a joke. It's tiny.
Yeah.
Second part of the draft, favorite coffee spot?
We'll go Bird Rock Coffee Roasters. I like the one in La Jolla.
Nice, okay.
I'd say the coffee machine we got downstairs.
I was going to say Starbucks.
Yeah, I was going to see what you say, because you're an espresso guy normally, I feel like, right?
Yeah, I mean, I like flat white, but I haven't really been to, haven't been to any coffee shop since I'm here. I just made my own espressos downstairs.
That's fair. All right. What part of LA are you in? LA right now? Is it LA? Right?
Corona.
Oh, okay. Nice. Okay. I'll take James Coffee, just a standard issue, not just cause it says my name, but just cause it's great. So yeah.
I don't think I've been to Bird Rock, and I don't think I've been to James.
They're two good, pretty good spots in San Diego, actually.
Maybe I've been to one in San Diego with Sean Gain back in the day. It's
probably, for sure you went to, is it by the airport?
Can't remember.
For sure he would have taken you to James. I'm almost certain he would have taken you to James. Yeah.
Yeah, I might be.
We used to go there and play chess every Wednesday and drink coffee.
Yeah, yeah, I went there.
Okay, it's James' coffee, yeah.
Third one, favorite food spot. Oh, Tori, you go first.
The taco stand in La Jolla. That place is best tacos in. You know what? I'm probably not going to pick the taco stand. There's a place in Westlake Village where Savannah grew up. It's called, what's it called? Oh my God, I lost the name. I can't believe this is the best burrito you'll ever have. Oh, called Sikasa. It's called Sikasa. I'm not kidding you when I tell you it's the best burrito you'll ever have. It's unbelievable. I almost can't describe how good that burrito is. You get the chicken fajita burrito.
Fair enough.
I really want it right now. Even thinking about it.
I was always a big Chipotle guy, but I guess I changed to In-N-Out.
Oh, hell yeah.
Attaboy.
Let's go.
Attaboy.
That's what I'm talking Attaboy. About. That way better.
Have you had it? Have you had it much since you've been here?
Probably 5 times.
Nice.
Attaboy.
In-N-Out's good. Yeah.
On the way back from Chula, because Chula is a bit far away though. So on the way back, I'm like, it's not. Like the people here have been saying, like it's actually not that bad. Like the meat's not that bad. It's like relatively high standard meat. I'm not sure if that's just Americans being proud of their own thing and saying that, or if that's actually the case.
I think if you compare it
to believe it to make me feel less guilty.
Fair.
Yeah, if you compare it to other fast food, it actually is, because they make like you can see them like break out the potatoes for the fries and stuff too. So it's not like healthy, but it's way better than if you went to like any other burger place, really.
I'm taking the one burger place that Trump's at, it's Shake Shack. So good, dude. So good. Every time now. And okay, last one. I don't know if this is a good one or not, but I had a favorite beach in there.
Wind and Sea in La Jolla. Like, it's really nice.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right.
Super nice.
I think I've only been to Laguna since I'm here. I'm not a big beach person. I don't really
care. Laguna is really nice. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm more of a, if you have to pick mountains or the beach, I definitely go mountains.
Mm. You're up in the mountains on this trip too, weren't you?
Yeah, I went to Mammoth for like 2 or 3 days. So that was nice.
How is it? I've never been there actually.
Fucking expensive.
Yeah, well, welcome to California.
Fucking hell. Yeah, yeah. California is mad.
It's super expensive.
Yeah, it was nice. I didn't go, like, as I said, I just got my collarbone plate removed. I'm like, I'm good. I'm not going skiing or snowboarding. So I just hung out. Well, yeah, like they didn't have a lot of snow up there back when we went, but it was still good fun. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like they probably don't. They don't have a ton up there. That's the end of the draft.
Are you not going to say your favorite?
Oh, my favorite. I'll go with. I'll go with. What's the one? I can't say La Jolla. So what's the one south of that, Tori? That where Savannah used to live.
Pacific Beach.
Pacific. I'll go Pacific Beach.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like saying.
Nah.
It's your pick, right. But it's not a good pick.
You can pick it. It's just not a great one for sure. But all right, let's get into some questions from the grandstands. Allie Hawking 77, greatest track to race?
Question.
I'm going to probably shock everyone. I'm going Shifang, China. Just 40-second track, big, wide open.
That one, yeah.
It's like you can come out of the second turn in seventh and still make it.
That's sick.
I love that. It's like that's a different sick. Sport.
Yeah,
like,
that's cool.
I feel like most people would probably hate it, but I just like it when you can pass people if you're just straight up faster.
I agree.
I always wanted to ask somebody, was that hill, was it like, did they have a rubber surface on the hill? What was that?
So it was like metal. So when it started, like even in a dry, it was pretty slippery. It was dusty. So we're like, you need grip tape or something.
Yeah.
But it was weekend, so everything was closed. So they just have carpet. They bought carpet. I can't remember if it was Frank Smulders. Maybe not Frank. I remember people just gluing the carpet on there. And they're like, well, if you buy that much carpet, why do you make it only this small? Just cover the whole thing. So yeah, they made it work, but definitely wasn't great.
Yeah.
You got him, James?
Okay. Yeah, I got him. For Bruno, BMX, what are your goals for the 2024 season?
Do better than last year.
Fair.
From Breezegar's world, is there a story behind the race number 313? If not, why do you like that number?
So my first pick was 13. But the way it works, like picking career number, even if you would win the World Cup ranking, for example, probably as Sam did as a junior, the elites still have priority. Like, so there was one Australian guy with one UCI point. I looked him up. Like, maybe he had 5 points, but he didn't have a lot of points. So he picked 13. So I think it was like 13, 99, 77. I think those were my picks. Like, I just wanted 13. Like, because I used to be superstitious, so I didn't want it. Then I had that number, second year junior, ended up winning the Euros with it, won the Worlds that year, so I wanted that number. And then my second and third pick were more like, whatever. I just wanted 13. Didn't get it. So then half the numbers were taken. I'm like, well, I guess we'll make it 313 then. We'll just do it 1 year as a lead. First year lead will probably suck. Then I'll change after that. But then I won Papendal. Won the world champ, second World Cup overall. I'm like, yeah, I guess.
Guess we got to keep it.
To it. Yeah. Yeah. And then I think Donald Duck's car has 313. I didn't know that, but after Rio, when I was walking with the bike in my hand, I'm like, yeah, of course, 313. That car brings bad luck, whatever. I didn't know that, but people were making
never heard
memes
that,
about yeah. it. Yeah. Not a big cartoon guy, but apparently it's a thing.
And now it's kind of unique because nobody else can get triple digit numbers, so they're kind of cool now.
Yeah, I think two digits on a jersey still looks cooler, but yeah, I guess we're sticking to it.
This was from Brian Landers. How picky are you with bike geometry?
I've pretty much had the same bike set up forever, even. So I had, this is a funny story actually. I had so Mavo's got a fixed rear end. And before, like after the test event in Tokyo, I knew what gear I was going to ride in Tokyo. So they just made the rear end based off that gear. So I could basically run it without the tensioner. Oh. And the Mavo 23-inch carbon frame, I think they actually changed the geometry a little bit to make it similar to what I was running. So like, so if you don't like the geometry of the carbon frame, it's on me. Like not fully.
That's wild. Yeah,
I think they were like 4 millimeters off or 3 millimeters here and there. And they're like, well, if it's that close, then just match it to Nick's bike.
That's crazy. That's cool.
Brian Landers, the States or Netherlands for riding and why?
What time of year? All around California, no discussion. Like even though those, like right now it's raining, but I think you guys can ride 50 weeks a year in perfect conditions. Yeah, we definitely don't have that. Yeah, so probably I'll probably still say California. I mean, I feel like when we go to the US, we're like, oh, this is new, so we like those tracks. Every time you guys come to Europe, you're like, oh, yeah, these tracks are so much better.
Yeah, so I used to be like that when I go train in France and stuff. I used to feel that way.
Yeah. I feel like most tracks in France are better than the tracks in the Netherlands. I hate to say that out loud, but
the tracks in France are pretty cool. They're all pretty unique too. Like they're a lot different from each other. There's no there's no like mold to a track. It's all like very unique.
Yeah. If you go to Bern or whatever, like so many tracks have like different shapes. I feel like in the Netherlands, it's like very classic, like 5 meter pro set on a second straight. It's like
cookie
same, cutter. Same. Yeah. So I like the more original stuff.
This one's from Sebas 404. He says, if the Chase rumors were true, how close were you to signing with Chase instead of Mabo?
No comment.
I don't know what rumors he's talking about.
I feel like over the years, anytime there's been a fast, successful European, there's been rumors of a Chase deal.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I feel like there's been like 10 riders linked to a Chase deal.
Yeah, I've heard the Bethany rumor, the Nick rumor, yeah, the Romain rumor. I've heard a lot more over the years.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know. Maybe with some people there were talks. With others, maybe there weren't even talks. So I don't know.
We can start we can start a different rumor if you'd like. We just start talking something out of our ass and make it real.
Like sometimes I see rumors about myself. I'm like, where? Some things are true, but sometimes there's stuff where like, where do people get this from?
God, the like, internet's I've a great the internet's a great place.
Random
isn't it?
Stuff where I'm like, what the fuck?
Tori, I heard Neek's getting this Audi R8 deal. Going to be getting a sick Audi R8 from, you know, that's just his new whip.
on the Pete D deal.
Yeah.
Neek, thanks for joining us, Matt. It was good catching up. And yeah, we'll see you in Phoenix this Friday. Looking forward to it.
Who knows? Maybe I'll video call you.
Yeah, Troy, he might need to ride out. Troy can just pick you. You can pick him up.
Yeah, you just swing by and we'll head up together.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe if I come to Phoenix, will we have a pit set up for me, like coffee chair?
Set up an umbrella next to the fence with the rollers.
Sounds great.
All right, buddy. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Neek.
Okay, cheers, guys. Out. See you later.
See you later. Bye-bye. Neek Kimmon, everybody.
Good catching up with Neek.
Great catching up. Wild, I didn't realize the full length of that Indonesia story and that he just really was going there with the backpack and he just ended up there. That's so cool, dude.
It's fucking great, isn't it?
Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah, it's hard. Yeah, like I said before, you can't not like Neek. Great guy, great ambassador, and obviously a fantastic racer. And yeah, wish him the best of luck this year. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what he does at the World Cups and the O Show.
There's not many people out there that can have a year like he did, which he won a European championship and he still said he gave himself a 5.5 out of 10 at first. And obviously I think he said, you know, maybe he realized it was better than that, but it's just crazy the standard and the level he races at.
Yeah, of course. And I mean, once you're at that level, there's nowhere to go essentially, but down, which is pretty unfair really. But
100%, yeah.
Yeah. If you look at like his previous years, it certainly wasn't his best one, but it wasn't a bad one by any means.
Yeah.
But it's also hard. Like like you said, if you're lacking some motivation and you're going against guys that are really hungry and they're at that level, it's just like, how are you supposed to compete? So it's nice to hear that he's, you know, motivated and loving BMX and ready to get after it, because a Neek like that is a dangerous Neek for sure.
It was kind of cool seeing that little, you know, you talk to somebody and that smile comes on their face and you can tell they're excited to get racing and get into the mix again. It's like he had that and it was really cool. So we're an audio podcast, but for the people that are watching the video, you could see that.
People that are live on the Facebook right now.
Yeah. We had a good amount of people on Facebook. Thanks again. It seems like it's going well being on Facebook. People are loving it.
It's better. Here, so. I think it's better than the YouTube for sure.
Yeah. The tube.
The tube. ProGate Europe, winning starts the Great Gate. Neek Kimmon going to win plenty of times in a ProGate Europe. Has won plenty of times, going to win more.
Going to win it. You can get the same gate that he's going to win races on. He's practiced on himself. So go get yours today.
All you have to do is exchange a little currency and you get it.
It's like, it's not hard, guys. It's really that simple. You just have to literally take the first step of messaging ProGate Europe. Start there.
So. Snap on Green. We'll be back next week. See everyone at the Desert Classic in Phoenix. Yeah, baby.
Snap on Green, baby.
Yeah, well, what's this friggin' podcast all about? I don't get it, man. Coffee chatter?
Get off my back, guys. You have to defasten the track.
I hate that guy.